pitam hena bhutale svayam rupa vidamayam dadati svapadanti kam pandeham shigro shiyuta parakamalam shigrum vaishnavam scha shivrupam sagrajatam sahagana bhaganatam vitam tam sarivam Sarvaitam Savadhutam Prajna Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padham Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakam Zitam Scha Hey Krishna Karna Sindho Dhinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchena Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshri Prishubhanu Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sinubhivascha Padidam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shedvaita Gadadhar Shivasvi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Om Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda, Jai Dvaita Chandra, Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya, Jai Nityananda, Jai Dvaita Chandra, Jai
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
I'm going to start reading from the Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhulila Chapter 9, Lord Chaitanya's Travels to the Holy Places, beginning with text 65. As I mentioned last week, this is a travel dialogue. I guess they call it a dialogue. But it's explained all about Lord Chaitanya's trips to South India. There's not much philosophy. Except, as I mentioned last week, is that as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung, may I always visit the holy places that Lord Chaitanya visited. Because Lord Chaitanya visited the holy places in mood of separation from Lord Krishna. And if we visit the same holy places and remember Lord Chaitanya feeling separation from Krishna there, then we'll also feel separation from Krishna. And that will be the perfection of our visiting the holy place. After all, these are very important holy places that Lord Chaitanya visited. Generally, people go there, and if they're properly guided, then they know what to do with the holy place. But we know what to do with the holy place. We're supposed to remember Krishna and Lord Chaitanya and their pastimes. So this is his pastimes at these holy places. So after arriving at Tripati, or it's Tripati, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Lord Ramachandra. He offered his prayers and obeisances before Lord Ramachandra, the descendant of King Raghu. Everywhere Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, his influence astonished everyone. He next arrived at the temple of Pana Nrisimha. The Lord is so merciful. Purport. This Pana Narasimha or Panakal Narasimha is located in the district of Krishna in the hills known as Mangalagiri, about 7 miles from a city known as Vejayavihara. One must climb 600 steps to reach the temple. It is said that when the Lord is offered food with syrup here, he does not take more than half. Within this temple is a conch shell presented by the late king of Tanjore, and it is said that the shell was used by Lord Krishna himself. During the month of March, a great fair takes place in this temple. In great ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered obeisances and prayers unto Lord Narasimha. The people were astonished to see Lord Chaitanya's influence. Arriving at Shiva Kanchi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the deity of Lord Shiva. By his influence, he converted all the devotees of Lord Shiva into Vaishnavas. This Shiva Kanchi is also known as Kanji Biram, or the Banaras of southern India. In Shiva Kanchi, there are hundreds of symbolic representations of Lord Shiva, as well as a temple that is supposed to be very, very old. Now we see the reason for Lord Chaitanya's visiting all these holy places is to preach. And Lord Chaitanya was so powerful that he didn't have to say very much. Just by his transcendental presence, people became devotees. Because associating with Lord Chaitanya was so blissful that people wanted to find out how they can get some more of that bliss. And Lord Chaitanya said, very simply, simply surrender. Chant Hare Krishna, surrender. And they began to do it. The Lord then visited a holy place known as Vishnu Kanchi. He saw there Lakshmi Narayan, Narayan deities, Narayana deities, and he offered his respects and any prayers to please them. Purport. Vishnu Kanchi is situated about 5 miles from Kanji Biram, and it's here that Lord Varadharaj, another form of Lord Vishnu, resides. There is also a big lake known as Ananta Sarovara. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at Vishnu Kanchi for 2 days, he danced and performed kirtan in ecstasy. When all the people saw him, they were converted into devotees of Lord Krishna. After visiting Trila Mala, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see Sri Kalahasti. It was there that he saw Lord Shiva and offered him all respects and obeisances. Purport. Sri Kalahasti is situated about 22 miles northeast of Tirupati. It is on the southern side is a river known as Suravana Mukhi. The temple of Sri Kalahasti is located on the southern side of the river. The place is generally known as Sri Kalahasti or Kalahasti, and is famous for its temple of Lord Shiva. There he is called Vayulinga Shiva. One day will come and people will take, instead of going to Miami and New York and Hawaii, they'll be going to these holy places. So I'm going to set up a travel agency for the future. Include all these places on your itinerary. At Pakshi Tirtha, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Lord Shiva. Then he went to Ridha Loka, place of pilgrimage. Prabhupada, this Pakshi Tirtha is also called Trirukadi Kundam and is located 9 miles southeast of Chimlipat. There is a 500-foot elevation and is situated in a chain of hills known as Vedagiri or Vedachalam. There is a temple of Lord Shiva there, and the deity is known as Vedagirishvara. It is said that two birds come there daily to receive food from the temple priest, and it is claimed that these birds have been coming since time immemorial. At Vridaloka, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Lord Sweta Varaha. 79. After offering him respects, the Lord visited the temple of Lord Shiva, wherein the deity is dressed with yellow garments. Purport. The temple of the white boar incarnation is situated at Vridaloka. The temple is made of stone and is located about 1 mile south of an oasis known as Bali Pitam. There is a deity of the white boar incarnation, above whose head Sheshanaga serves as an umbrella. The deity of Lord Shiva is known as Pitambara, and is also known as Chidambara. The temple is located 26 miles south of Kudalora, and the deity there is also known as Akashalinga. The deity is in the form of Lord Shiva. The temple is situated on 39 acres of land, and all this land is surrounded by a wall 60 feet high. You might wonder where all this purports come from. Does anyone know? Where did all these purports come from? This is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. He made a pilgrimage to all these places, and he wrote down the directions how to get there. So these are all from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's commentaries. As I mentioned last week, though, that some of these railroad stations have changed. So if you follow it, you may wind up in something like Miami. It's not exactly. Prabhupada wanted there was going to be a project to read Holiness Bhakti Vikash Maharaj wanted to do a project where he was going to relocate all these places. But I guess it didn't happen in time for the new edition of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So a little caution, if you do try to follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, this pilgrimage, this guide here, it may not be so accurate nowadays. After visiting the temple of Shiyali Bhairavi, another form of the goddess Durga, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Sachi, went to the bank of the river Kaveri. Shiyali Bhairavi is located in the Tanjore district, about 48 miles east of Tanjore city. There is a very celebrated temple of Lord Shiva there, and also a very large lake. It is said that one small boy, a devotee of Lord Shiva, came to that temple, and the goddess Durga, known as Bhairavi, gave him her breast to suck. After visiting this temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the temple bank of the river Kaveri by the district of Trichinapalli. The Kaveri is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.40 as a very pious river. The Lord then visited a place known as Go Samaja, where he saw Lord Shiva's temple. Since this is South India, a lot of temples of Lord Shiva there. He then arrived at Vedavana, where he saw another deity of Lord Shiva and offered him prayers. You may wonder where the Vishnu temples are around here. Not so many Vishnu temples. Even though I was in South India, I went to I had one little Vishnu temple out in the middle of a field. And I think I was the first person to go there for a few years. It was really small and covered over. And then we went to the Shiva temple and it was like huge. Because people worship Lord Shiva for material prosperity. And they know if you go to Lord Vishnu and ask for material prosperity, he may not give it, so therefore they don't like to worship him. They think they're wasting their time. Goa Samaja is a place of pilgrimage for the devotees of Lord Shiva. It's very important. It's located next to Vedavana. Seeing the deity, Shiva deity named Amritalinga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his obeisances. Thus he visited all the temples of Lord Shiva and converted the devotees of Lord Shiva into Vaishnavas. That's why he's visiting all these temples of Lord Shiva. At Devastana, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Lord Vishnu. And there he talked with the Vaishnavas and the disciple succession of Ramanujacharya. These Vaishnavas are known as Sri Vaishnavas. At Kumbhakarna, Kapala, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw a large lake and then a holy place named Shiva Kshetra, where a temple of Lord Shiva is located. Purport. Kumbhakarna is the name of the brother Ravana. At the present moment, the city of Kumbhakonam is situated 20 miles northeast of the city of Tanjore. There are 12 temples of Lord Shiva located at Kumbhakona, as well as four Vishnu temples and one temple to Lord Brahma. Shiva Kshetra, within the city of Tanjore, is situated a big lake known as Shiva Ganga. There is a large temple to Lord Shiva, there known as Brihatishvara Shiva Mandira. Text 79, which is on the board for some reason. Here we go. Papa,
Papa,
Nashane,
Nashane,
Vishnu,
Vishnu,
Kaila,
Kaila,
Darshana,
Darshana,
Sri,
Sri,
Ranga,
Ranga,
Shetre,
Shetre,
Tavo,
Tavo,
Karila,
Karila,
Tamana,
Tamana,
Papa Nashaya Vishnu Kaila Darshana,
Papa Nashaya Vishnu Kaila Darshana,
Shiranga Kshetre Tade Karila Gamana.
Shiranga Kshetre Tade Karila Gamana.
Papanashaya Vishnu Kaila Dharashana.
Papanashaya Vishnu Kaila Dharashana.
Shiranga Kshetre Tade Karila Gamana.
Shiranga Kshetre Tade Karila Gamana.
Papanashane Vishnu Kaila Darshana.
Papanashane Vishnu Kaila Darshana.
Shiranga Kshetre Tabe Karila Gamana.
Shiranga Kshetre Tabe Karila Gamana.
Papanashane Vishnu Kaila Darshana.
Papanashane Vishnu Kaila Darshana.
Shiranga Kshetre Tabe Karila Gamana.
Shri Ranga Vishnu Kaila Darshana.
Shri Ranga
Kshetre Tade Kaila Dharshana. Ladies. Papanashani Vishukaila Darshana. Shiranga Kshetre Tabe Karila Dhamana. Papanashane. At the place known as Papanashana. Vishnu.
Lord Vishnu.
Teila. Did. Darshana,
Darshana,
visiting,
Shiranga Kshetre,
the holy place named Shiranga Kshetra, Tabe, then, Karila, did, Gamana,
departure.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. After visiting the holy place named Shiva Kshetra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at Papanashana. And there he saw the temple of Lord Vishnu. Then he finally reached Shiranga Kshetra. Purport. According to some, the place known as Papanashana was located 8 miles southwest of Kumbakonam. Others say that in the district of Tinebhali, there is a city known as Palamakota. 20 miles west of there is a holy place known as Papanashana, near the river named Tamrapani. Sri Rangakshetra is a very famous place. Near Trichinapali is a river named Kaveri or Kolirana. The city known as Shirangam is located on this river in the district of Tanjore, about 10 miles west of Kumbhokana. The Shiranga temple is the largest in India, and there are 7 walls surrounding it. There are also 7 roads leading to Shirangam. The ancient names of these roads are the roads of Dharma, the road of Raja Mahendra, the road of Kulakshekhar, the the road of Alinadana, the road of Tiru Vikrama, the road of Tirubidi, the road of Madhamadi, Gai Isha, and the road of Adha Iya Vala Indhana. The temple was founded before the reign of Dharmavarma, who reigned before Rajamahendra. Many celebrated kings like Kulakshekhar and others such as Alabandharu resided in the temple of Sri Rangam. Jamunacharya, Sri Ramanujacharya, Sudasanacharya, and others also supervised this temple. The incarnation of the goddess of fortune known as Gadha Devi, who was one of the 12 liberated persons known as Divya Suris, was married to the deity. Lord Sri Rangana, married to the deity Lord Sri Rangana. Later she entered into the body of the Lord, an incarnation of Karmuka Tirumanga, one of the Aloveras, acquired some money by stealing and built the fourth wall, boundary wall of Sri Ranga. It is said in the year 289 of the age of Kali, the Alovara of the name Tongra Radipati was born. While engaged in devotional service, he became victim to a prostitute. And Sri Rangana, seeing his devotee so degraded, sent one of his servants with a golden plate to that prostitute. When the golden plate was discovered missing from the temple, there was a search, and it was found in the prostitute's house. When the devotee saw Ranganath's mercy upon this prostitute, his mistake was rectified, and he prepared the third boundary wall of Ranganath temple and cultivated a Tulsi garden there. There is also a celebrated disciple of Ramanujacharya known as Kuresha, Sri Rama Pillai is the son of Kuresha, and his son was Vavvijaya Bhat, whose son was Veda Vyas Bhat, or Sri Sudarshanacharya. When Sudarshanacharya was an old man, the Mohammedans attacked the temple of Ranganath and killed about 1,200 Sri Vaishnavas. At that time, the deity Ranganath was transferred to the temple of Tirupati in the kingdom of Vijayanagara. The governor of Gingay, Gopanarya, brought Sri Ranganath from the temple of Tirupati to a place known as Singha Brahma, where the Lord was situated for 3 years. In the year 1293, Shaka, the deity was again reinstalled in the Ranganath temple. On the eastern wall of the Ranganath temple is an inscription written by Vedanta Deshika relating how Ranganath was returned to the temple. Any questions about this? At the bathing of the river Kaveri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the temple of Ranganath and offered his ardent prayers and obeisances. Thus he felt himself successful. In the temple of Ranganath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted and danced in ecstatic love of Godhead. Seeing his performance, everyone was struck with wonder. One Vaishnava known as Venkata Bhat then invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home with great respect. Sri Venkata Bhat was a Vaishnava Brahmana, an inhabitant of Sri Ranga Kshetra. He belonged to the disciple succession of Sri Ramanujacharya. Sri Ranga is one of the places of pilgrimage in the province of Tamiladesha. The inhabitants of the province do not retain the name Venkata. It is therefore supposed that Venkatabhakta did not belong to that province, although he may have been residing there for a long time. Venkatabhakta was in a branch of the Ramanuja Sampradaya known as Vadagala East. He had a brother in the Ramanuja Sampradaya known as Sripad Prabodhananda Saraswati. The son of Venkatabhakta was later known in the Gaudiya Sampradaya as Gopala Bhakta Goswami. And he established the Radha Raman temple in Vrindavan. More information about him may be found in a book known as Bhakti Ratnakara by Narahari Chakravarti. Sri Venkatabhakta took Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home. After he washed the Lord's feet, all the members of his family drank the water. After offering lunch to the Lord, Venkatabhakta submitted that the period of Chaturmasya had already arrived. Venkatabhakta said, "Please be merciful to me and stay at my house during Chaturmasya. Speak about Lord Krishna's pastimes and kindly deliver me by your mercy." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained at the house of Venkatabhakta for 4 continuous months. The Lord passed his days in great happiness, enjoying transcendental mellow of discussing Lord Krishna's pastimes. While there, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his bath in the river Kaveri and visited the temple of Sri Ranga. Has anyone ever been there to Sri Ranga? Every day the Lord also danced in ecstasy. The beauty of Lord Chaitanya's body and his ecstatic love of God were witnessed by everyone. Many people came to see him, and as soon as they saw him, all their unhappiness and distress vanished. Many hundreds of thousands of people from various countries came to see the Lord, and after seeing him, they all chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Indeed, they did not chant anything but the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and all of them became Lord Krishna's devotees. Thus the general populace was astonished. All the Vaishnava Brahmanas residing in Sri Ranga Kshetra invited the Lord to their homes every day. Each day the Lord was invited by a different Brahmana, but some of them did not get the opportunity to offer him lunch because the period Chaturmasya came to an end. In the holy place of Sri Ranga Kshetra, a Brahmana Vaishnava used to visit the temple daily and recite the entire text of Bhagavad Gita. The Brahman regularly read the 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita in great transcendental ecstasy. But because he could not pronounce the words correctly, people used to joke with him. Due to his incorrect pronunciation, people sometimes criticized him and laughed at him, but he did not care. He was full of ecstasy due to reading Bhagavad Gita and was personally very happy. By reading the book, the Brahman experienced transcendental bodily transformations. His hair stood on end, tears welled in his eyes, and his body trembled, and he perspired as he read. These are called what? Satsika Bhava. There are 8 of them. Seeing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very happy. Purport, although the Brahman could not pronounce the words very well due to illiteracy, so that includes all of us then. He still experienced ecstatic symptoms while reading Bhagavad Gita, so he probably pronounced Dharma Kshetra, Kuru Kshetra, however he pronounced it. In other words, he read the Bhagavad Gita, but it wasn't in the proper pronunciation. He didn't know probably what retroflex is or what a voice sound is, or unvoice, or definitely read the Bhagavad Gita like we do. But he was in ecstasy. So we could read like the Brahman, but we're supposed to be in ecstasy too. That's all. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to observe these symptoms, and this indicates that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased by devotion, not by erudite scholarship. Prabhupada once said that the devotees, when they sing the Guru Vastika prayer, sometimes they pronounce it as Goro. Vande Goro Shri. If But Prabhupada said, Gauru means cow. He said, I'm not a cow. Or a bull. But still, it's not that Prabhupada said, I take offense when I hear. We're worshipping, we offer obeisances to the lotus feet of the cow. Because he understands. He said, we understand that actually, what you actually mean is guru. So Krishna is known as Bhavanagrahi. That he takes the feeling, not necessarily the pronunciation. Even though the words were imperfectly pronounced, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna himself, did not think this very serious. Rather, the Lord was pleased by the bhava, devotion. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.11, this is confirmed. Tadvad vishargo janatagha viplago yasmin prati shlokam abhadvat yapi namanyanantasya yashon kitaniyat shunbhanti ghayanti grinanti sarva. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the Lord, fame, form, and pastimes of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of the world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Purport to this verse may be considered for further information on this subject. In other words, the purpose of whatever we're doing is to arrive at the correct bhava.
Bhava.
So bhava means the feeling. The feeling of devotion, service attitude, wanting to please Krishna. Without that bhava, then everything is simply, well, not very fruitful. Bhava is the purpose. And what blocks us from bhava is our material misconceptions. Principally, there's three material misconceptions. One, as Prabhupada writes, is the fear of the negligence of spiritual life. The other is the fear of a personal spiritual identity. And the third is the conception of voidism. So because of that, when we chant Hare Krishna, we don't have the bhava. But without bhava, then there's no real devotional service. Devotional service means service with bhava, or devotion. And it's that bhava that Krishna is accepting as our service. Of course, even in the neophyte stage, if one is trying to serve Krishna, Krishna also accepts that as a type of bhava. Just like a mango. A ripe mango and an unripe mango. A green mango is still a mango, but its flavor is not very tasteful. But a ripe mango is very tasteful. So devotional service in the neophyte stage means that there's not much feeling. But if one executes devotional service according to the rules and regulations, then gradually, as one becomes purified, one's natural feelings towards Krishna will awaken. But as Prabhupada said, it's not that we are cooking some halava for Krishna, and because it has, not on, well, even on Kadasa, that because it has some raisins in it and some fruit, therefore Krishna has to accept it. Because Krishna just likes halava with raisins in it. But Krishna doesn't have to accept it. It has to be offered with bhava. Prabhupada gives the example that there is one devotee. He started giving the story of one devotee who was treating his deities just like a ordinary, in a parental rasa. And then he gave the story of Sanatana Goswami. He was hanging his deity in a tree. This is during the installation of Shishi Rukmini Dwarkanath, the little deities in Los Angeles. And as the story is told, that there was one Brahmin, he had many children, and he is to treat his deity Madan Mohan as one of his children. One day, Sanatana Goswami, he was doing Madhakari, going door to door to get a little roti from different householders. And when he was going door to door, he saw his deity, Madan Gopal, Madan Mohan, and he was playing in the courtyard. Somehow or another, Madan Mohan, he became attracted to Sanatana Goswami, and he wanted to go and live with him. Although Sanatana Goswami tried to discourage him, saying that, I don't really have a very nice house to provide you with, nor do I have any means to give you very nice offerings. But still, Madan Mohan was attracted by Sanatana Goswami, and he wanted to live with him. And he convinced the Brahmin, let me go, live with Sanatana Goswami, you have so many other children, so what would be the loss if I go? Although the Brahmin was quite attached. That type of attached householder is very nice. But somehow or another he got to live with Sanatana Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami at that time was living underneath a tree. And the only room he could provide for Madan Mohan was one branch of the tree. Which was quite surprising for Madan Mohan. He didn't really expect such austere conditions. In any case, Sanatana Goswami, he had no kitchen either. He had no place to cook for Madan Mohan. He was just going out and begging some roti. Roti does not mean chapati, nicely cooked with some ghee on it. That's not a roti. Roti is, but they take some dough in Vrindavan, and they just, well, some grains, they make it into a dough, and they just throw it in the fire, let it burn for a while, and take it out. That's a roti. Quite thick, nutritious. He has to chew it for a while. And Sanatana Goswami would get one or two rotis and he'd offer it to Madan Mohan. So after some time, Madan Mohan became very disturbed. And he said, my dear Sanatana Goswami, he said, you're just offering me one dry roti every day. He said, can't you at least get a little salt? So Sanatana Goswami said, my dear deity, please stop complaining. He said, now you're asking for some salt. Tomorrow you'll ask for sweets. Try to be satisfied. He said, I'm an old man. I can't even move. But I'm offering you whatever I can. So Prabhupada said that, what is your value? And what is the value of the things that you have? It is actually nothing. That the real thing is bhakti. Your devotion. And then Prabhupada gave himself offering to Krishna. He said, my dear Lord, kindly accept. I have no qualification. I'm rotten and I'm fallen. And then Prabhupada started to cry, but I brought this to you. That will do. Don't be puffed up. Always remember that you're dealing with Krishna. That is my advice to you. In other words, the opulence of material life, our material lives, what we think is opulence, is only a combination of gross and subtle material elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, these combine together to form a material body and all the different material ingredients that we see around us. But life, Krishna and life, this is not very exciting to Krishna, simply different combinations of gross and subtle material nature, nor is it very attractive to us. Prabhupada gives the example that if there's a beautiful man or a beautiful woman, then we become attracted to them. But if the soul leaves the body, then most people don't become attracted to them anymore. Matter of fact, if they see some dead body on the street, instead of becoming attracted, they cross over the street, try to get away. Because what's attractive is the soul, the life within the body. So So similarly, Krishna is attracted by life. And the life of the soul is devotion. The desire of the soul to please Krishna produces transcendental love. That transcendental love is tasteful. That emotions, transcendental, Krishna enjoys the transcendental emotions. And that's all he enjoys. Therefore, we're practicing not so much to give Krishna simply very opulent offerings, we're practicing to give Krishna the proper service attitude, the proper desire to please him, and that's what actually pleases him. Other than that, Krishna has no real need for anything, because he already owns everything. It is not that if we give him something, he's gained something, he already owned it, or if we seemingly take something away from Krishna, he lost something, because he never loses anything, he never gains anything. His only thing is that he's attracted or interested in gaining the love of his devotees. So for that reason, Krishna creates the transcendental process known as devotional service and the process of practicing it so that gradually that love for Krishna will be awakened. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sarakavanoi Shavanadi Shuddha Chite Koraye Udoi. Nitya Siddha, eternally within the heart of all the Vyantis, is the perfection of loving Krishna. Simply we have to do what's the process, follow the process by which we become conscious of Krishna through the devotional process, and automatically our love for Krishna will be invoked, because he's himself is all loving, all beautiful, all attractive. Therefore, naturally, if we become conscious of him, then naturally we'll become attracted to him. And Shravanadi Shuddhachitta Kaurya Udoya, it begins simply by hearing about Krishna, hearing the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and then if we put it into practice, that Kaurya Udoya, that natural love will awaken, that's considered the perfection of life. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to see this Brahman, but it was in the perfectional stage of life, exhibiting transcendental emotions, although externally he was not very sophisticated from the material point of view. We're not so much interested in trying to perfect our pronunciation, although it is not that we should avoid trying to pronounce nicely for Krishna, because that's also part of devotional service. But if the devotion is there and the pronunciation is not 100% accurate, still Krishna will be very pleased. And if the pronunciation is 100% accurate and there's no devotion there, then Krishna won't be very pleased. So I'll stop there. Is there any questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Grandharashi, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Gaura Premanande.